eyes and the zigzag lightning and hugged and kissed and the rumbling thunder. And about every union wheel that ever did run down a union road or down a union rail, and every puff of union smoke that ever did rise up out of a big, high union smokestack.
There's a better world is coming, tell you why. There's a better world is coming, tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea and in the sky. There's a better world is coming, tell you why. There's a better world is coming, don't you see. There's a better world is coming, don't you see. When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see? There's a better world a-coming, and don't you know, no. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you know? I'm a union man in a union war, it's a union world I'm fighting for. There's a better world that's a-coming, don't you know? Better world is coming. There's a better world is coming. There's a better world is coming. I'll tell you why. Don't you see? And don't you know? Hey. There's a better world is coming. I'll tell you why. There's a better world is coming. I'll tell you why. There's a better world is coming. Tell you why. Better world to come and tell you why. Out of marching, out of battling, you can hear the chains are rattling. There's a better world to come and tell you why. Now there's a better world to come and there's a better world to come and there's a better world to come and tell you why. There's a better world to come and don't you see. Better world to come and tell you see. Better world is a-coming, and don't you see? Well, there's a better world is a-coming, I'll tell you why. Better world is a-coming, I'll tell you why. We'll beat 'em on the land, in the sea and in the sky. There's a better world is a-coming, I'll tell you why. Well, there's a better world is a-coming, don't you see? Better world is a-coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world a-coming, don't you see? There's a better world a-coming, don't you see? Better world a-coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free, there's a better world that's a-coming, don't you see?
Mr. Dickey, you've done a lot of this.
Yes, and that's a very striking quotation, surely. However, it sort of presupposes that thoughts are not so much primarily but exclusively the products of a leisured, perhaps moneyed, class in society, and I don't myself hold very much to that view. I like to think that the poetry is always and permanently accessible to anybody that wants it, as well as to available to the engineers and the people were, as well as to the
and existed when John Quincy Adams, yes, and others were fighting to establish.
Yes, something. Sure, right. It had just as much vitality then and under any other circumstances of that nature, any other nature, as it has in a leisurely society such as that quotation posits.
Well, now we hear all over the place, well, who reads poetry? Or who listens to poetry? But it's perfectly obvious that there are, by the thousands. And it's not the middle-aged, it's the young. Would you find that this is that there is an audience for the traveling poet, Miss Rukaisen?
There's an audience of great intensity. I don't know about the numbers, because in my experience, it has been the thousands and sometimes very, very few. Sometimes there's been the great embarrassment that exists so broadly, the general nervousness about poetry, and within that, an extreme need and longing for what this kind of music related to need, related to love, related to form, and most of all, the desire for these things, the desire for love, the desire for form, so that you get an audience of extreme intensity, whatever size it is.
Well, recently you did a very wonderful piece in the New York Times Book Review, Mr. Dickey, in which you told of some experiences that you had as a traveling poet. And in that article, you spoke of the eternal themes of that concern the poet. That is the possibility of love and the inevitability of death. Did you find that youth in the United States in this day and age is concerned with those things?
Yes, and I think in quite a good many instances concerned with hardly anything else. And this is surely understandable. They're concerned more with it because they are young, and emotions and convictions and also uncertainties are much stronger in them, and therefore they need to gravitate to a medium like poetry, which is concerned with these matters more or less traditionally, and also are concerned with them in the work of their own contemporaries and the people like myself who are just a generation or so ahead of them. What you find in these young people is that they're clinging passionately to their own individuality rather than wishing to go out into the great anonymous world and take up a niche and stay there and live and die as one society provides in some large company or corporation. For these college years, they want to hold on to themselves, and they want to get some means of expressing what they honestly do spontaneously feel about things, as opposed to what they are supposed to feel, or what they're told they should feel. And right there is where poetry exists, because it has the best poetry anyway. It has to do only with the genuine response and the genuine feeling about any specific emotion or occurrence.
Well, did you feel that they were opening doors to you as a visiting poet because they felt that perhaps you could understand where maybe teachers and parents and friends did not?
Yes, you do feel this. Now, whether this is true or not, one really
done this on the other side of the Iron Curtain. And you have participated in readings in Russia, haven't you?
Well, in both Russia and America, hundreds of times. I would say it's a pack of rotten lies to say that merely because a lot of poetry readings take place in America now means that there's more cultural interest in poetry. It is perfectly true that with first-generation wealth, robber baron wealth, like the gold Cadillac, and second-generation wealth, like humanitarian, charitable things, the third generation goes and studies ballet in the Left Bank. That's perfectly true. All this means is that the way in which they achieve status differs, but the motivation is a crass one of status. So all that these poetry readings mean in America is that status is not gold Cadillacs now, but it's poetry readings, but it's just status. It has nothing to do with liking poetry any better than before in America. When I think of all the women's book clubs that love the poetry readings now, 20 years ago in the Cynthia Lewis world, they would lynch the poets as people believed in nude bathing or communism or modern art. There really is no difference. The status angle has changed, but the motive is not ideals or beauty. It is status. And it now enhances status in America to like poetry. And when I think of that, I yearn for the good old days of the Babbitts who hated poetry. At least you knew your enemy. The line was drawn. And now they hug poetry to death in America.
Well, now,
but in Russia, what a different story. There the young people, I've seen 15,000 young people cheering Voznesensky or Slutsky or Yevtushenko in these public poetry readings, and they really cared, and they stuck their neck out, and it was nothing not a matter of status. And a cold night in Mayakovsky Square, 15,000 people protesting against the dry, materialistic mechanization of communism. This wasn't status. They weren't there as they are in America because it's chic. None of this tongue in your chic. They were there because they had values, and then they would revolt against communist materialism. But in America, it's all chic. It's all status. So it's a rotten lie.
Let me interrupt for a moment. Wouldn't you be inclined to take issue with Peter on this? Because yeah. I think that you made the point that in reaction to the John Quincy Adams mention here, that interest in poetry does not mean that your grandfather, you know, was a wealthy robber baron at all. That
would you rather be hugged to death than kicked to death by the bourgeoisie?
How about that?
What's the difference?
I would want to separate the chic from the gauche here. I would want to say the thing that one has to watch out for in the audience is also the thing one has to watch out for in oneself.
I'm for the Reeve gauche, but what's for the Reeve gaucheries?
But Stevenson being quoted the other day, saying about flattery, it was like cigarettes, it wasn't so bad if you didn't inhale. The thing that happens to you when you read poems isn't so bad if you don't inhale.
Do you think these club women care more about poetry than think of Lewis's Babbitt? Isn't it just a different style?
They asked me what has happened about the response to poetry, the way they said to me in the South, knowing that I was arrested in Alabama about the Scottsboro thing, they said, what do you think has happened since Scottsboro? If people always want to know what has happened to these frightfulnesses.
People pin you down and sing me a song of social significance, Rukeyser, but you've grown beyond that and you're a lot more interesting than that, but that's the label they have for you.
My first poem was called Effort at Speech, and that's where I am now, and that's where this thing about reading poetry is. It isn't effort at speech, it is to find out how the exchange of consciousness can be made. What can be done in bringing the poem through? The thing that one does by oneself in absolute
I want to come back to this matter of why young people write, because a lot of these people,
why do
the
young
colleges,
people
when
read?
You read and they came and listened to you, and they responded to your readings in the student union or wherever it happened to be.
Was this a new form of status, like furniture from Finland, you know, a kind of a status?
When they brought poems up to you afterwards, what was your reaction to that, Jim?
My reaction was this. I know what Peter's talking about in these garden club things, and there is some of that. However, I don't believe that. I've never seen any evidence that poetry has any particular value as a status symbol now.
Helen Hawkins and women like it today.
They might like it, but even there, although I wouldn't discount the possibility of a real experience from it. But these kids we were talking about the people in the colleges. I didn't get into it myself, or didn't want to write poems, and neither did you, Peter, because it was a status symbol. We had some fundamental need of trying you too. Yeah. When you were the one who raised the question about it. I've been struck mainly by the fact that they are sort of groping for something as I was at their age, and the main rapport between me and them has just been that they are like I was, and I feel like I'm very much like them, only regrettably a little bit older. And I assume that because I think that my own motives in trying to write initially were more or less honorable and had hardly anything to do with status. Surely not in those days. You couldn't have foretold any boom in the poetry symbol then, or rather the reverse. But I've been struck mainly by the fact that they're looking for some of the same things I was, to emerge from the printed page with luck. I mean, if they were able to put it down, then they would have said something not superficially, but would have said it in depth, which might conceivably mean something to another human being. This is as fundamental as that, I think, really.
I'm interested in the question of risk, what you earn through risk. I can see playing it safe. I can see people who are daring. I cannot stomach those who are cautiously daring. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Soviet...
He was accused by this. He was really, there was usually Putin. And it was not pornographic at all. So anyway, it was received, and we had a little article from the magazine to protest. At the same time, I was working on my last draft here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it took me 8 years to not complete it, not to finish it. And it was never finished. Many parts are missing, and they will be missing forever. And Smith's symphony.
But in the same time, Dadaists...
Yes, the Dadaists were very strong there. We were parallel to what happened in Switzerland, in Zurich, where Zaha and Arp were, and Hilfenbeck were creating the real Dada. The name of Dada was from Zurich. We never used any name. We were just a group of fancy artists who did what we did. They're very much in harmony with what they were doing in Zurich. I received from Zaha the little Antipyrene book, and I was very much interested in it. So that was the situation then. And we went on and did Pitalia, left America, back. And went back to Zurich when he met Star. He decided to come to Paris and organize the French Dada group, which he did, where all the Breton and Arion started being very young men. Yes, it's absolutely
comfortable
and unusual, but probably because of my ready-made Don't Move, and this is a theme of...
It seems true that you are right.
Yes. I had the first idea when in 1913 I had a bicycle wheel in my studio in Paris. The name Ready-Made came only 2 years later in New York.
What is your title for the cage?
Why Not Sneeze?
Very strange title.
Very strange title because it's based on the fact that you really don't sneeze at will. If you want to sneeze, you may not be able to sneeze. So why not sneeze? And you try and you can't. At the same time, the title is so dissociated from whatever is in the case, like sugar lumps, and outside of that there is a little thermometer. But the sugar is made of marble pieces. So the fact is when you lift up the cage, you have a very, very surprise of weight of marble as against what you expect, which would be sugar, rather light weight. And this is one of the effects I wanted to exploit in a ready-made sequence of using different things that have nothing to do with aesthetics in general.
So for it was a way of exploring the world absurd.
It was very close to that, except there are, like humor, different forms of absurdities. And in my form of absurdity, I tried to be just myself again. And what happened is, what happened to the bottle rack was a perfect expression of the ready-made because it had no connection whatsoever with art. And yet, they have finished producing books on sculpture, and they must say that it's their heart on art, but it's what I think, really. That anything artistic is a danger today because we have been integrated to society in such a way that we don't know where we are. Everything is artistic, everything the public could have responded 50 years ago. And I believe there were very few artists. Yes, very few artists, very few dancers, very few dealers. And it was sort of an esoteric society. It is not today anymore. It is really esoteric.
It's about time now to ask ourselves whether intelligence can be of any use to us. Following in Nostradamus' footsteps, we have left the hopeful efficiency expert far behind. What now? Shall we play the game? What game? To save, to put aside, to hoard? What for? To change the world? To reform administration? Replacing them with planning councils? All-powerful technocrats? Can that really change man? And what of death? As for death, we will find out soon enough, you can be sure. And so, little by little, intellect scrapes and cuts away, reduces thickness, takes away the peace of appearances, and spares nothing. Reason itself tightens, coils up, and becomes aphorism, a hint of philosophy.
Yes, I suppose Seagal also. What is it?
Substance X, like if you have a house in the country, if you have even a wife, you have three children, and especially having an automobile with three kids. The nightmare of all Americans at the same time, they polish them every morning.
In other words, my absurdity is not your absurdity, and I wanted to make it specifically mine.
I don't want to be a prophet or a chief of a tribe or anything.
You want. I have no intention to stop working if I wanted to, but I have need ideas, and I haven't had one for years, and I am very quiet about it and not concerned. Nevertheless, no vow. I can start tomorrow if I wish. The idea of repetition is a form of accepting or considering death, or very similar to the idea of death.
No solution.
No problem.
You're very proud of it, no?
Yes, Father. Man made a joke of it. He says, there's no problem, there's only solution.
It is. It's been there, says, all my life. I think it is. It's, and I don't want to talk too much about it, because maybe talk about these things, it destroys the emanation, the smell, the odor that a certain life may have, can have, too. And if you talk too much about it, you spoil it.
In fact, thinking just as much of the doing as doing is doing. You want to understand my analysis of my system. There is a system, because there is even no system. I don't believe in a system.
But I must add that in terms of popular metaphysics, I refuse to discuss the existence of God.
Well, it's not easy to say, but firstly, no advice I have in mind to give to anyone. I don't believe in advice.
But in a way, we started this film in the same term, now finishing this film is a philosopher.
Yes, call it philosophy if you wish, although I don't like the name, the word philosophy anymore than any other very big names like that. Just like the word art. Art is very well. I don't believe in art. But if you used to say, art is a fraud, and then you say, art is a mirage. What I believe in is the artist, the man. The artist, I believe, but art is a mirage to me. So, what to do except to let everybody be the individual and be as much of an individual as they can be, you cannot advise them to become this or that. And everyone for oneself, like in a sick bed.
That will be your last word.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That is easy. Yes. First one must be true to their God. Yes. True to themselves. And true to their neighbors. For you must treat others as you wish they treat you. For the Lord God will not allow you to do any more for him than he will do for you. If you be true to God, God will be true to you. I'm saying just for God be true. And God will.
Giving the war to help the cause. But today I'm a soldier. I do not have a uniform on.
No, no.
But my heart is up and simple, sir. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
Thank you.
Everyone get edit. Thank you.
Oh, what's all you, air roll?